Welcome to our Advent 2025 podcast. This is John.
And this is Eric.
And we're just doing this podcast as a way to kind of engage with what's happening, not just in worship, but during Advent and the season of Advent, looking forward to Christmas, kind of talking about some of the things that maybe we don't think about so often this time of year. So first off, Eric, I just want to know from you, did you celebrate Advent growing up? What did your church do around Christmas time?
Yeah, I would say kind of, I think. I remember at home as a kid having Advent calendars. What I remember were ones with little pieces of chocolate in them.
Yeah, and, of course.
But I think the piece that I really remember being meaningful from that was, of course, just sort of looking forward to Christmas and kind of, you know, anticipating. I think we probably did a little bit at church. I remember candles, but it wasn't something that we emphasized a whole lot or really talked about. I think what I took away was just that sense of anticipation, which, you know, was kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty much my experience, that we, you know, had candles and things, but Advent was seen as maybe something that other Christians did that we didn't do. But like you, I had Advent calendar growing up every year, sometimes the ones with chocolate, but mostly just the ones with little pictures behind them. And I thought that I was getting kind of good at opening them in advance and kind of pushing them back into place so it looked like they hadn't been opened. Shows you how well I deal with anticipation.
It's hard. Yeah.
It is. Well, and that's kind of what this time of year is about.
Yeah.
So just a brief history of Advent and the idea of Advent. The church recognized from the earliest days of the church that they were the two big feast days or two big celebrations, both Christmas, the birth of Jesus, and then Easter, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And that these were so important that it was not something just to kind of come up on lightly, but to have time to prepare for that spiritually and for them physically, because it was such a huge deal for so long that everything stopped when the church was the center of the community. So the word Advent comes from the Latin Adventus, which means coming or arrival. And we first find mention of this in the 5th century early Christian texts. And it's a time to celebrate the coming of Christ. So it's interesting how Advent both begins and ends the church calendar year, because we celebrate, on one hand, the first time that Jesus came in Bethlehem, but we're also looking forward to the future and the second coming of Jesus, and then recognizing the places in between there where Jesus shows up in our lives and in our hearts. Like Christmas, we see a lot of candles at Advent, and there's symbolism behind that, but we'll talk about that in a future episode. But before we get into talking about worship, just wanted to quickly look at this, some ideas about Christmas that we typically don't think about. We had the Theology on Tap on Monday night, where we talked about ruining Christmas and the reasons that some Christians don't celebrate Christmas. Have you ever run up, talked with somebody who doesn't celebrate it and had a conversation with them about it?
You know, honestly, I don't think I have. And when we were talking on Monday, the article that you shared, it was odd, because I couldn't envision someone not celebrating Christmas. I really have not encountered that, because it's such a cultural, thing too, that it's hard to imagine that. But
yeah. And it really has, I mean, long ago became much bigger than just a religious, holiday. It has a lot of cultural significance now.
Yeah.
Looking back at one of the objections, common objections, not just to Christmas, but to a lot of our holidays, Christian holidays, is that they're pagan origins. And if you look back through history, way, way, way before Jesus was born, all the way back to the earliest, you know, humans were celebrating the winter solstice when they recognized that the days were getting shorter and shorter. And at some point that turned around for people who lived by the sun. You know, they didn't have central air conditioning and heating and all that. You know, the return of the light and the return of the warmth of the sun was a huge deal. And there's, you talk about the return and the victory of the light and how the light is victorious over darkness. There is the Roman holiday that celebrated the sun god, which took place on December 25th. That was in the Roman calendar. And all through history, really, we see that missionaries have been looking at ways to help as they encountered new cultures, to help those cultures embrace Christianity in their own way. And they discovered really quickly, if they tried to tamp out all their old holidays and traditions, that they would just come back. So what they tried to do was to subvert those holidays and those traditions and to make them Christian in some way. And so the fact is, like we said at the beginning of that, you know, that all of our holidays, really our Christian holidays, have some kind of pagan roots, or some roots in other religion, or just in culture. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't celebrate them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, it's such an important piece to a lot of the Christian story is infusing these maybe non-religious or non-Christian things with meaning. And I guess, you know, you could say that there's kind of a colonialism sort of element to that, but I also think that it can be really meaningful to take things that don't inherently seem to have meaning and to find it. I mean, I think that's kind of what the Advent and Christmas season is about, God being made, you know, flesh among us in places where we don't necessarily see or expect it.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. Which is exactly what we're talking about this Advent, this year is our catchword is unexpected. We're talking about four places in the story of Jesus' conception and birth, four different folks who experienced God's breaking into their kind of normal everyday lives in a surprising way. Last week, we talked about Zechariah, who was busy being a priest in the temple. It was an important day of the year. But, you know, of all the priests who had gone in, none of them, they went into that part of the temple to do their duties. But, you know, Zechariah goes in and actually finds an angel standing there. It's kind of surprise, surprise, you're going in to meet God, and God actually shows up this time. And it I love the way that the Christmas story and these stories of Jesus' birth, of how God is breaking in to life at a time when a lot of people probably felt like God had abandoned them, that God wasn't active anymore. I'm wondering how that resonates with you this Advent season.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something really interesting about that Zechariah story in particular, where well, and a lot of these stories, I mean, we're so used to the characters, and it in our minds, maybe we read them every year, and so it makes sense. Oh, of course Zechariah had this visit, of course Mary had this visit. But, you know, for them, this was shocking and unexpected and didn't make a whole lot of sense. And I think there's something really interesting to me in this season about either sitting in that tension of, you know, maybe things not making a whole lot of sense. And there's a lot in life right now for me that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But somewhere in that, God is present. And I think you said it, we were talking, you know, last week, the kind of sort of irony, or, you know, contradiction of expecting the unexpected, preparing ourselves for that. But I think just being aware and having our eyes open, you know, looking for things that might surprise us. I have found a lot of life and encouragement from that practice when I've been able to do it. It's not always easy.
Yeah. And we just can't walk around all day, every day expecting the unexpected, because we'd never get anything else done. Right. You're preaching this coming week. I assume that you knew that already. Yes. You're preaching on the story of Mary and the visitation to Mary. What's ignited your curiosity as you've looked at that in preparation?
That's a really good way to put it. Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly still in process trying to find something to say. You know, Christmas is always a tough time to preach, because, you know, it's like, how do you say something new about a story we've heard 1,000 times? I think one of the ideas that's really resonating with me this week is Mary as mother, and sort of the nature of birthing God or birthing the divine into the world. And I came across this quote years ago that will probably make its way into the sermon on Sunday, spoiler alert, but I can't remember exactly how he says it, but something to the effect of, you know, if what good would it be if God was born, you know, to a, you know, Jewish girl in first century Palestine and wasn't also born through me into the world in my life. And kind of thinking about this idea that in a way, and I mean, you could stretch this too far, but that we are all in some sense called to mother the Spirit of God into the world. We're kind of like, you know, can we allow God's Spirit to work in us so much that we become sort of that kind of channel of God's Spirit and love into the world around us. And so I don't know. I'm not sure what that means exactly, but I think there's something interesting about the human element of Mary, and that we all are really kind of like her in a way. Not a whole lot special, just average people, and God can somehow work through that.
I love that.
That's where I am right now.
Yeah, I love that idea, and it's hard for me to grasp since I'm male.
Right.
And
me too.
You know, even, you know, we have two children, so walking with Tanya through that experience, but that each of us, yeah, is kind of in a way birthing Christ into the world. As awkward as that feels for me to say out loud. But I love the concept, yeah, that we are like Mary, responsible for bringing Christ into the world around us.
Yeah, for sure.
And like you said, you know, it's a stories that we've heard 1,000 times, that we hear every year, but, you know, following the theme of what we're talking about, even in the midst of that commonness, God can find ways to break in and show new meaning and give new insight and push us in a different direction, even through something that we've heard so many times.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is there anything in particular you could encourage folks to be thinking about as they prepare for this Sunday?
I mean, I think, again, just how can we have our eyes open a little bit more for some of the ways that God is showing up? And I think maybe this is kind of one of the other ideas, too, is that it's not really the exception to the rule that God shows up in, you know, normal, unexpected places. Like, that kind of is the rule, is
right.
That God shows up in all of these things that seem insignificant and brings meaning and purpose and significance out of them. And so I think maybe the encouragement or the challenge that I would offer, I'm kind of offering this to myself too, is maybe looking for the places that don't seem super important. And where is God in that? Not always in a worship service or in some grand experience of insight or, you know, but I mean, like, where is God in your breakfast? Where is God in, you know, tucking your kids in at night? Where is God in driving to work? I don't know, whatever else it might be for you. But I think that can be a lot of fun to just sort of look for that in life.
Yeah, that's a great thing to be thinking about this whole season, but especially preparing for this coming Sunday, because, yeah, like you said, the times that God shows up, it typically is surprising because we don't have the right to actually summon God or to bring, you know, we don't just ring a bell and God shows up. God shows up in God's own time and way. And very often that happens in the middle of breakfast or the shower or sitting at the computer at work or those different conversations that we have. So,
yeah.
So a good word for you and I, and a good word for everybody who's listening this coming week and also in the weeks to come, just to look for the places that God is showing up around you and to be grateful for those and share those with people as you encounter God.
Yeah. I love it.
Good stuff. Well, Eric, thanks for taking the time today, and we will look forward to hearing what you have to tell us about Mary on Sunday.
Yeah, thank you. Looking forward to it as well.